Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. How many yards does Kareem Hunt run for this week?
Well, the over here, they do have over under on player props. I think the prop for him is going against the Texans is going to be, God, if Baker's out, I'm going to make it 102.5.
Mm-hmm. Even if Baker's there, I mean, you're going to run the ball against Texas.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's hard to
that's
say.
A lot,
know,
though. That's
James,
a lot.
He's better than James Robinson. Robinson went for 99.
Yeah.
If you don't get behind.
I don't know if you noticed, though, who covers. Have you seen Tua's first start? In their first start, Tua's first start, cover. Jake Luton's first start, cover. Garrett Gilbert's first start, cover.
Oh, the players. Oh, yeah, because the Jacksonville did
very first start
cover,
for
yeah.
whatever reason. You would think, and you jump on the defenses if you're in fantasy, or you jump on, you know, oh, this is their first start. I'm going to bet the other way. Guess what happens in their first start? Now, normally, which is why I went against Miami in week two, is in the second start, guys, they catch up or what they're more prepared or the head coaches have their the team's attention and go, guys, do you see what he did last week? You see what they did? He's dangerous, so you got to be careful. And then they catch up. Except Tua was the exception to the rule.
He didn't do anything the first week, though.
No, he didn't do anything, but he still won.
Yeah.
Still won and covered.
He's just playing the trend.
Right.
Cleveland is fifth in the league in rushing at 150 yards. First is Baltimore. What did Baltimore do to Houston?
Yeah.
First is Baltimore. Second is Arizona. And that's quarterback. Third is Minnesota. Texans helped out there.
How'd that work out?
Fourth is Patriots. Fifth is Cleveland.
Patriots
sixth is fourth
in the league in rushing.
Yeah. Fifth is they had a big game. They had one really big game with 200-yard rushers with Damian Harris and or Sonny Michel and James White, I think. Not James White, but yeah.
Could have been James White.
Yeah, James White. Yeah. Right? Yep. And then you know who sixth is? Tennessee Titans. Texans played them too. And that's obviously Derrick Henry. So, and the Green Bay Packers are in there. Texans have helped elevate some of these teams, I would say. And some of them are just good rushing teams. Because Kansas City now, Texans made them look really good. And Kansas City, from a rushing standpoint, is middle of the pack. But yeah, Cleveland's fifth. I would say they're averaging 150 yards a game. I would say, I don't think that's a stretch to say 102.5 for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. Anyway,
what about defense? What do you think the Texans are allowing?
Well, how many sacks if Miles Garrett is questionable? How many sacks for Miles Garrett?
He's tied for the league lead.
How many sacks? What about Olivier Vernon? How many sacks total?
He's actually on Tunsil's side usually. I'll just put a half on it. Maybe if he's questionable, I'll put.
Is Tunsil still not giving up a sack? Did he give one up this week?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did either.
The Texans are the worst rush defense in the league. Number one, allowing 159.5 yards a game. I mean, the Browns, if you do the cross multiplication, the Browns should hit around 150. Kareem Hunt goes for 102. Just do the math. I'm a numbers guy. I've been telling people this for years. And that's what you're dealing with, numbers like that. I think, but I do think the Texans have a decent shot at winning here. When you look at, now the Raiders, how good are the Raiders? The Raiders have gone in and beaten Cleveland in Cleveland. It was an ugly game. It was bad weather. It was really bad weather. Sideways rain for half of it. They beat them in a sloppy, ugly game. But they traveled West Coast to Midwest. They went to Kansas City and beat Kansas City in Kansas City. I mean, the Raiders, I think the Raiders are a playoff team potentially.
Yep.
The problem is, the reason I think they might come up short is because they still have to, you know, the Chargers aren't really a layup, even though they end up laying down in the late in games. You still have one to go against Kansas City, right? You haven't played both of them against Kansas City. that's a tougher one. I don't know what to think about Broncos. Broncos only play in the second half of games, so I don't know what to think about them. But I had to turn in midseason predictions for – let's see how you like these. My NFL.com midseason predictions. MVP, I went Pat Mahomes, and I feel bad because I really feel like it really could be Russell Wilson, but it's getting to the point now where Russ is in cruise control. Mm-hmm. As long as he didn't have a 4-turnover game and a loss, well, he had a 4-turnover game and a loss. It happened on the heels of having a 3-turnover game, 2 games before that. So I think Pat Mahomes right now is the favorite to win the MVP.
I do too.
Right? And it's not like they're playing great, the Chiefs, but they're winning. And Pat's 25 touchdowns to 1 interception. How are you going to get around that?
Yeah.
Offensive player of the year, I made it Dalvin Cook. A lot of times it's running backs.
I like it.
Defensive player of the year, I went Aaron Donald.
It's simple, but he's so good.
Yep. DeForest Buckner's having a good season. There's a few, but Aaron's hard to – I mean, I just think it's got to be Aaron.
Yep.
Offensive rookie of the year. I went Herbert, but Herbert, Burrow, Justin Jefferson, these three –
I think that Burrow's going to get the love when it's all said and done.
These three are going to be the ones. I'll see what the odds are on it, if anyone has it yet. Defensive rookie of the year. I had to dig around on that one. That's a little harder. I went in – Antoine Winfield Jr., but Jeremy Chin's got a chance at it also. Chase Young just doesn't have –
they're raving about Winfield, though.
Yeah.
The media's on Winfield.
Winfield has been really good for the most part. And then Coach of the Year. Who you got for Coach of the Year?
Coach of the –
I know right now you say Tomlin. Is that – I feel like Brian Flores might be Coach of the Year, but I don't think he'll get it. I went with Sean McDermott because I think they're going to smack – their division and get a bunch of wins.
Yeah, but that division is so piss poor.
I know. But I still think if the Bills get to 12 wins, I think McDermott will get it.
Well, if they have does it help the Bills and McDermott if there's a second playoff team in that division, which the Dolphins currently are?
Yeah, I think so. It could. Yeah, well, if you have two playoff teams.
Who is exceeding expectations? Greatest.
Well,
I don't think the Bills are. They were predicted.
I think the Dolphins. Their over under was 9.5. The Bills.
I wouldn't sleep on Gruden.
No, I wouldn't sleep on Gruden. I think Gruden's done a hell of a job.
Yep.
I wouldn't sleep on Gruden. Brian Flores. The best jobs being done right now to me are Brian Flores, Gruden,
LaFleur.
Yeah, I think Matt LaFleur has done. I think he's done what he was started doing last year.
But I mean,
like, he showed signs of that last year.
He and Aaron, what they're doing offensively with those weapons is now Devontae Adams is special, but Aaron Jones has been hurt, and there's nothing else.
I think we got a chance to say Sean Payton again. I think Matt Rule has done. You know, they didn't win in Kansas City, but they almost done. I think Matt Rule's done a way better job in Carolina. That's the problem. They've played well, but they haven't come up with the wins. Yeah, that's true.
Tomlin's got to get some love, though.
Has to get it. They're undefeated.
Although he didn't help himself. None of the Steelers helped themselves. I am looking at an article. I don't know if we have enough time right now. I'm looking at an article. And see, do you agree with this?
My son is already, one of my sons that argues about sports talk all the time. He's saying, I guess he's listening. He said, if the Dolphins win all the games they should, they're going 11-5. Flores has made that defense top three.
Thanks, that Al. Is a special D now.
The D is getting after
that D.
They took Shaq Lawson. They're trying
fantasy,
to throw that D.
Fantasy-wise.
That's what they say in Miami. Throw that D is what their is their big.
Well, it ain't a weak D, right?
Their slogan is, no. We don't have a weak D, throw that D.
You force turnovers, you scoop and score. You ain't got that weak D.
No, they got that strong D. They got strong
D. Like Cruz said, throw that D years ago.
This article says the Kansas City Chiefs are the lone elite team this year. And that ain't even arguable. It's the one team league with the Chiefs and everybody else. You agree?
No. If they're elite, they're not struck. They're not losing at home to the Raiders. They're not winning last-second games against inferior competition. No, I don't believe that.
Well, I don't believe...
Their running game has taken a decline. I think they still have an elite offense.
Their argument is they're because they're so damn good at passing. That's why. They're running game.
They're not running it as well, though, either. And I think that their defense... Nah, I don't think it's a one-team league. No, I don't. I think the Chiefs... as a matter of fact, I guess who I had going to the Super Bowl, and I'll admit I went a little out of the way, but I went. What's Rex doing?
You know what?
Rex is dancing. If you need to see,
he's mimicking Sean Payton. Would you take a team over the Chiefs on a neutral field?
No.
See, I made the Super Bowl. I had Saints beating the Bills.
You think the Bills could go into Kansas City?
I think the Bills have
a shot.
Bills have firepower now.
They've got to go to Kansas City, bro.
I understand, but Bills have firepower now. The Bills have as much firepower as the Raiders.
You're taking Josh
Allen have a better defense
in a game over Pat Mahomes?
I don't like it. I didn't say I liked it. I didn't say it's the but I just think that they right now have enough firepower.
The Josh Allen you saw completely capitulate against the Texans, you're taking him in a playoff game against Pat Mahomes?
I think the Josh Allen I'm seeing now with new wide receivers, that's made a big difference over there. Wow. For him to have Stephon Diggs, I think Zach Moss is making a difference with the physical stuff. Singletary's running the ball well. John Brown is Smoke Brown's another speed guy. I think they got a chance mostly because of their defense, and having the defense they have, the secondary they have, that's where I really...
Well, they already played this year, and the Chiefs went in there and won.
They went in there and took care of them. Yeah. They look like the better team, clearly.
Well, they did struggle, though. They struggled against the Chargers. They got beat by the Raiders. They did go to the Bills and win. They won by 9.
It's almost like they turned switches.
They struggled against the Panthers. I don't know. Yeah, there's something like... It's something about them that's like... Turn it on now. All right, time to turn it on. And that's a little dangerous. It's a little dangerous.
And over the length of the schedule, I mean, we can get into who they struggled against, like if they're playing college football. Like, Clemson, they're having their issues against BC and Syracuse and stuff. But I don't look at it the same way in the NFL, just because it's 16 games worth of this stuff. Are you going to be a dominant team every week in the NFL? The talent differential isn't as great as it is when we talk about college football. So I don't really hold it as much against them, because I feel like, who's stopping this team when it matters?
Right. No, but I mean, that's where.
LeShane, you can tell he got heated at Dell. Who is that guy? The Spice Police? Why does he give a F where the heat comes from?
Oh, see?
Spice Police.
He's using some Chipotle aioli. Uh-oh. Is that what he's doing?
Guess what he does. He pokes Dell. See, LeShane, you have to realize this. Dell pokes at the bear. He has this way of getting reactions from people. I can't explain it, but he does.
You selling that sandwich, and if it's coming from that special sauce you made, man, get it out of my face. That's all I'm saying. I don't have to be your target audience. I'm just saying you're making an inferior sandwich. If it comes from that, I just don't know. I don't know what type of sandwich it is.
It's a delicious sandwich.
That's fine, but it's inferior.
We got Jimbo coming up next. It's Jimbo's not next. Inferior. It's,
Jimbo's
it's
next
superior.
Right here on ESPN 97.5. And then we'll get into there's some other good stuff about Deshaun and some other stuff going on that we will get to a little bit later. But Jimbo is next right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, I got to talk right now about my guy, John Clay Wolf, over at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com, the best place to sell your car, and it's not even arguable. If you're looking for the most money for your vehicle, how about a guy that is going to guarantee that he's going to give you the most? Because he says, if I can't beat CarMax, I'll send you $100. And you know what he doesn't do? Send $100. He said maybe four or five times. Maybe I've had to send some money four times. And he's been doing this for years, that he's guaranteeing that he'll give you more money. So, I mean, it's a car, okay? It's a car. I mean, don't you want the thing about it is, well, I just feel like I don't want to get as much for that. No. You want to get as much as possible. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Get the most for your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back to ESPN 97.5. Time to talk some Aggie football with the head coach. An hour later, but there's good reason for it. Jimbo Fisher joining us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, right here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
Fine. How y'all doing?
Good. Give us an update of what's going on with the game. You think they're going to play on Saturday?
Well, we'll wait today and find the contact tracing. We, like I said before, we've only got two positives, but the issues could come. We don't know. I mean, we're going through that whole process. They'll finalize here this morning. It's all about contact tracing.
Yeah, that's a shame. And going along so well, Coach. You hate. I mean, first of all, you hate this whole thing. Don't get me wrong. But as far as your football team is going, man, you guys are on a roll.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, yeah, first of all, the safety of our players and everybody else involved, we've got to make sure we do it right. But as far as that goes, yes. I mean, we're starting to come together all through all the phases and playing complementary football and understanding how to do things, understanding how to win, and liking, I mean, practices have really picked up as far as the execution. And it's showing on the field and all the things you got to do, for sure.
Does it matter to you? This is the A&M's highest ranking in forever. What do you think?
I didn't know that, but I guess great. That's good for A&M. It's good for. But at the same time, I asked somebody, all right, we're 60% done with the year. If you're leading the race at 60, it's when the race is 60% done, or you're in fourth or fifth place. All it does is tell you what you need. It doesn't matter. You got to finish the race. So we got to just focus 1 week at a time, and right now focus on Tennessee, and then move on.
Yeah, I bet on horses that were doing great after 60% of the race.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That last 40 I didn't like as much.
Kind of important.
Well, you know, it's funny, Coach, because that was a big criticism of Kevin Sumlin during his time at A&M, is that, you know, the teams really got out to good starts, and then it was just like a murderer's row of games in I guess it was November, that always used to trip him up. So to your point, yeah, you got to play the ball as it lies and keep the focus. And that has to be something you're really happy about this week. I mean, I don't think most people expected you to come in there and completely dominate South Carolina the way you did. And for you guys not to let up and have a let-up game at this point in the season, that had to make you happy as a coach.
It does, but I see it in practice. I really do. Now, to say you go in there, because, listen, South Carolina, we played a great game. We did awesome. They had some issues, but they have played some really good physical football all year. And played good teams well, played Florida very well. Florida game, they were actually on the 2-yard line when the game went off. Should have been 38-31. To beat Auburn, to beat those guys, I mean, that's a good – I mean, they have a good football team, and we played well. So I think our guys really buy into the theory. I just said to you, we have to prepare and play each week and do what we do. And I think that the thing that I'm the most excited about is our physicality on both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, and that was something that, well, you had it a couple years ago with Mack and – in that front that you had, and well, the entire front. But offensive line-wise, it was good a couple years ago. Last year wasn't where it needed to be. This year it's back to being what you want it to be. You got great stable of running backs. Have you changed? Is this what you wanted the team to be, or does it kind of not necessarily the philosophy of the team, but kind of the identity of a team, does it change over the course of a year? Or has this identity changed at all for you?
No, it can be, and how injuries go, things go, how people are playing. But, you know, here's the thing. We only talk, and here's the thing, and I want to make this clear this. We want to be physical, we want to be tough. But we also want to be the most skilled physical tough team that can play with great technical presence in the skill department, throwing the football, the efficiencies, touchdowns. We want to be balanced. I want to be able to run it, but I want to be able to throw it. I want to be able, like I said, we can do all the things the spread teams do, but we also want to be able to line up and play physical football and create mismatches in the run game and pass game with formations and personnel. And I think that's allowing, and that's the other part. We're still throwing the ball highly efficiently also.
His completion percentage wasn't nearly as high this week, but four touchdown passes again against no interceptions. What I love is you had 266 yards passing and 264 yards rushing, Coach. To your point, you were pretty damn balanced.
Yeah, and what I'm going to tell you what, one of the most overrated things in football is completion percentage. Okay, you want completions, and you get a couple drops here and there, and you get that. But what kind of throws you making, when you're making them, how you're making them, there's always throws you want back. I don't care what game you go into. It's like a basketball guy. You never make every shot you shoot. But how you're making, the shots you're taking, when you're taking, the third down efficiency, the throwing and the decision-making on third down, all those things in the passing game. And that's why, like I say, I'm so proud of our third down and red zone efficiency and what we're trying to do. So, you know, I think in all those areas, we're playing really good football. And like you, and I still think we can play better. I really do believe we can play better.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Do you scoreboard watch at all? Because that Florida win is looking better and better, Coach, after Florida took care of business against Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I really felt that Florida would play Georgia very well going in. I really did. I mean, I knew Florida is a very good football team. And, you know, like I say, we were able to that day throw it, do the things we had to do, run it. I mean, and I think that's given us a chance to be successful. So, all that matters to me right now is Tennessee.
I think we all thought Florida had a real good chance of beating Georgia, because if you've watched them, I watch them against Ole Miss, I watch them against you guys, I think they might have the most explosive offense in one of the top two or three in college football. And you guys were able to score with them. You guys were able to weather their storm from a scoring standpoint, and then the whole game turned when you guys started just pounding them with the running game. It felt like 12 straight runs. I can't remember how many straight runs you had.
But we missed it in the second half, kept them out of rhythm and the things they did. And if you remember, we actually created a big turnover that they called back with a hands to the face on another guy.
Yeah.
That had nothing to do with the play.
Yep.
And we actually created some turnovers on defense, and they called a really poor call on Bobby Brown on a roughing pass when we had him backed up for a thing to give him two drives. I think we actually could have got some stops on him in that time. But, you know, but that was the game. That's a great team. And you play great games, those things happen. But, you know, we just got to keep focusing on what we got to do. And we got to match offense. That's what I like. We can make stops on defense, but if we got to match points on offense, we can run it. We can throw it right now. We have to continue in that progress. But like I say, I still believe we can really get better.
Coach, I want to ask you about you're a little more – you kind of blend the old school and new school approaches. And I understand the idea of tempo, 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 because it wears defenses down. But I'm kind of curious to your thought of the old school ability to just have a long physical drive to keep another offense off the field and to kind of impose your will on the other team. How does that balance with the idea of getting as many plays as you can, because eventually the defense wears out?
Well, here's the thing. When you run as many plays as you can, you often run 20, 25 bad plays a game. You also run into bad looks, because you're not checking things, you're not making alternative things, because you're trying to go so fast. There's a downside to that. You run plays into things that aren't good looks, or you throw protections into things that aren't protected. And you can do that, but why not be efficient? And we can do both. We have the ability to do both, and also it depends on the game. Do you want to keep the other team's offense off the field? Do you want to? Because if you're in rhythm, but you keep giving it back to them, they get in rhythm too. I mean, there's a whole philosophy of that, by who you play, how you play, and what they do is we try to make our individual weekly game plans. And I think you got to be able to do that. And that's why we're so diverse on offense and have the ability on defense to do those things, because we really believe that there's times we want to hurry, there's times I'll speed it up, there's times we'll slow it down, there's times we'll run it, there's times we'll spread it, you know, whatever it may be. To me, it's on an individual game plan deal, what's best for you. Because here's the ultimate thing. It ain't about running the most plays. It's about winning the game. What is going to give you the best chance to win the football game? And that's what every decision is based off of.
Jimbo Fisher with us, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue here on ESPN 97.5. All right, so this contact tracing, Coach, Is it a matter of just sheer numbers, or if you would be too depleted at a certain position?
It could be both. I mean, we don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So that's all finalized today.
Okay, so, yeah. So if it's just a sheer number of guys, but it's spread out at different positions, we're okay, we can go play, you know, I guess that would be the case. Certain leagues have – do you know what the SEC's philosophy is on that?
There ain't a philosophy. There's a rule. There's a 53-man rule. There's a – you got to have one quarterback. You got to have, like, seven linemen. You got to have – one of them has to be a center. You got to have, like, I think six defensive linemen. It's five – I can't remember exactly – it's something like that. Other than that, they don't have the rules.
Okay.
Except for an overall number.
Yeah.
Those are the base rules that come out of the league.
Yeah. All right, so tell us about, well, hopefully we'll see you playing Tennessee. Tell us about Tennessee.
Like I say, Tennessee hasn't had the success they wanted to have, but when you watch the film, physical up front in the offensive line, run the football, a lot of two tight downhill runs, play action, RPO game on offense, quarterback is athletic, makes plays a lot of times. Young receivers are explosive. Defensively, big, heavy, strong guys up front. Two backers are really good. Crouch and 11. Tate, I'm not sure exactly how to say his name. Young man from California. Athletic, can run. I mean, really good linebacker. Corners at zero was predicted high. They thought he may come out early at the beginning of the year, their corner. Safeties can run. One's a good player, 22, 5. I mean, they've got good players in secondary. Jeremy mixes all the different protections. Very exotic on third down. Different blitzes and really got a understand protection, be able to protect on third down. And like I said, they punted the ball at eight punt returns against them for 8 yards. Give one yard of punt return. Special teams are very sound. So, I mean, we're going to play a really good game.
Yeah, and it's a dangerous team that's lost four straight. They're hungry.
You're right. You're going into their territory. So anytime you go on the road in this league, you got to strap it up and you got to be able to play like that. And, like, you know, the other point you made, too, when you're on the road and you're changing momentum, one of the things it does is ball control. You can get crowds out of games. And, I mean, you always got to be – I don't care what you do in this game, how skilled you are, you got to be physical.
Got to be physical. Well, Coach, we appreciate it, man. We know you got a lot to do. So why don't you get back there, and hopefully we're going to see you guys playing on Saturday. Keep this momentum going because you guys are looking spectacular. Great job last week, Coach, beating up South Carolina, and good luck this week.
Thank you guys very much. Right. Have a great day.
There's Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, which is the place to go for your turkey. Listen, people, it is here. Thanksgiving is upon us. Order your Cajun fried turkey, Dale. You know where they put the seasonings? Inside.
Yeah, it's infused. The word we're looking for is infused as opposed to basted on with your sauce.
No, I seen Yanni with the syringe actually putting the seasoning inside as opposed to LeShane.
Yeah, Yanni may be a scumbag for other reasons, but it ain't because of how he prepares his food.
I mean, Yanni's seasoning it? He's
with,
doing the injector?
With a syringe. I mean, you
was
know.
Was that legal in barbecue contests?
Yes, and you can use it on you can
turkeys.
Use it multiple times as opposed to, you know, like shooting up heroin.
Right. Yeah, I was never going to make that comparison.
Right.
With his food
to
heroin.
What's LeShane doing? Squirting some chipotle mayo on a bun and then slapping a chicken filet on
there. He's got some things he's saying about you that I can't read out loud.
I'm sure he does.
But what Yanni does over to me, I'm telling you this, and you can get it baked if you want. You can get it. I'm pretty sure they smoke them. Get the fried turkey this Thanksgiving. It is awesome. Go to Damaris.com, order it. It'll be ready for you. They box it up perfectly. Give them the bird, they call it. Give them the bird. All you got to do is go to Damaris.com, DEMERIS.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm in love with the cocoa. I'm in love with the cocoa. I got it for the Lord.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Hopefully the Aggies will play this week, man. They're playing some good football. Good football. So hopefully they'll play. This article, it's for the win. And it says that the Chiefs, and I disagree with it too, that they're the only elite team this year. I mean, you got an 8-0 team in Pittsburgh. And I know they didn't look great against the Cowboys, but Who gives a rat? You're going to struggle. There's going to be struggles. It's the NFL. You're going to have some struggles. Their number two story is this. Deshaun Watson is elite.
I just can't stand the use of the word elite. People just throw it around like you had Werther's in your mouth the other day when you were just eating candy during the show or cough drops.
Right?
Remember when you pretended like you weren't, but me and Dell could hear it? The rapper?
I wasn't eating any. I don't know what the hell you're talking about there.
Elite, right? People just throw around elite.
Okay, so.
Pat Mahomes is elite.
So on Sunday, well, this says. Wait just a second. Wait just a second, my friend.
You gotta find out how 2-6 is elite.
It was as if Watson had to beat two teams, the Jags and the rest of the Texans roster and coaching staff. Watson averaged 0.42 EPA per drop back. EPA is an estimated success rate. 0.42. It's an expected. The other 20 players resulted in a loss of 8.6 expected points. While the defense gave up 0.15 EPA per dropback against something called Jake Luton. Okay, so here's the passing and rushing efficiency for 2020, the Houston Texans. It's not even close. No team has a wider gap in EPA, expected points per play, between pass plays and run plays. The only team within a half point of Houston is Kansas City.
Yes, we know their run game sucks.
And that's mostly due to the fact that the Chiefs' passing game is so damn good. I don't know if there's a quarterback who gets less help than Watson. Going into the week, he ranked 33rd in play action pass rate and had thrown only 5 screens. Now, they did throw more screens against the Jags, though. Watson leads all quarterbacks, including Mahomes, in Sports Info Solutions total points metric, which adjusts a player's EPA based on their individual contributions to a play on a per... This is really nerd stuff. On a per-attempt basis. And if we filter out the play-action passes that inflate other quarterback stats, Watson's lead in total points grows to 13.3. Mm. The gap between him and Mahomes, who ranks second, is as big as the gap between Mahomes and Teddy Bridgewater, who ranks 12th.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
It is a nerd thing.
They just convinced me. This is the problem with the analytics movement in football. In baseball, and to an extent in basketball, you can... I think there's a correlation. In football, there's an attempt to try to just create new data points and like expected points attempted or at this. First of all, to take a bad running team and a team that throws the ball and say, well, look at this gap between passing and running. No crap. Obviously you're going to have that, but Deshaun Watson is not elite. He's playing good football right now, but this is a perfect example of how there is a movement
stat
afoot
dredging
where they it's data dredging to be sure, but they want to create new data points so that they can just look at the numbers and not even have to watch the games. Yeah. And this is the problem with football. You, unlike baseball where the data can speak, you must watch football games and understand context. The context of raking up yardage in the fourth quarter when you're down 14 points, that has to be looked at with a grain of salt. What is the defense doing?
And Jimbo said it too. Well, I said, well, he was only 16-26, which wasn't as great. But completion percentage isn't important. One of the most unimportant stats in football. When are you getting those completions?
Yeah.
On third down?
Yeah.
Are you throwing the ball down the field and getting big plays?
But this guy's going out of his way to create a contradictory narrative that maybe Deshaun Watson is better than Pat Mahomes. There's nobody on the face of the planet that would say
Watson
that.
Watson has had to carry this team on his back, and usually when a quarterback has that kind of pressure on while playing from behind, he'll turn the ball over a ton. But not Watson, who ranks third in turnover-worthy play rate per Pro Football Focus. If all those numbers aren't enough to convince you that Watson is a special player, maybe this will. Watson was 24 when the Texans played their first game this season. Joe Burrow will be 24 a month from now. That is saying something. Deshaun came into the league 3 years ago.
That's great.
And no. But that's kind of a big deal. That how young he was and where he is now. Honestly, it is kind of a big deal that. And we talk about Deshaun progressing. Man, he's only 24 right now.
No, he's. Does he look?
He'll be playing 20 some years from now if he's Tom Brady.
I think this is the first year that he has looked like he started to show signs of maybe looking like the Deshaun he was when he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next 2 years after that were not the same. Played good football. I don't think Deshaun is elite. I don't throw out elite. Elite means you have to be one of the special quarterbacks in your generation. Elite. That word is just thrown around so haphazardly. Elite. Deshaun is a good quarterback. Pat Mahomes is an elite talent. Aaron Rodgers for years has been an elite talent. Right now, the elite quarterback, I don't know that there's a lot of elite quarterbacks. I think there's a lot of good quarterbacks that are on the way up, which is great for pro football. How many quarterbacks do you think? Right now, Lamar Jackson doesn't look elite at all. That's why after 1 year, you can't really be elite after 1 year. Pat Mahomes has put something together now very strong for 2.5 years. And
Russell's elite.
Russell's elite.
Yep.
Russell Wilson is elite.
Pat Mahomes is elite.
After that, I think you're done. I don't think Drew Brees is in that category anymore. He has been during his career.
Brady's not anymore.
No, Roethlisberger's not anymore. No. But there's a lot
Josh
of good.
Josh Allen isn't
I just
there
think
yet.
We, I just think we need to not say that so
Against
often.
Against the backdrop of a wasted season, Watson has evolved further, and I'm ready to evaluate him to my tier of elite quarterbacks. Okay. If the MVP were truly given on a player's value to his team, rather than to a good skill player on a good team, Watson would win easily. Deshaun Watson, MVP.
I need to know who wrote that.
It's not you.
I know.
Well, you don't know. Do you?
Wrote it.
Did you look at all the numbers? I thought you were a numbers
who's
guy.
Who's trying this hard?
Stephen Ruiz.
Never mind. Stephen is Mr. Contrarian like that all the time. He comes up with hot takes. That's a classic hot take. Love Deshaun Watson, good quarterback. A, he's not elite at this point, and B, those are asinine arguments that he is trying to data dredge.
Oh, really?
And
what's
create.
Your EPA? Is your EPA any good?
Mine's better. No. It's better than Vernon Hargraves.
You don't even know what your ETA is, and that's supposed to be your special power.
No, I always know what my ETA is.
Isn't that a special power, Dale?
It's always.
He has the worst superhero
power. It is my special power.
The worst superhero power ever.
Yeah. I've never seen anyone get Lashane this mad. Tell those scumbags you inject turkey with a type of brine. You don't mainline it with trucker speed. Brine they're shooting in there. It's not trucker speed.
Is anyone going to him for a fried turkey on Thanksgiving? No.
Dale's got him just feeling some type of way.
I mean... We go to Demarish for fried turkey.
You know
what?
You're telling people how to cook food like you could accuse me of. You're not being the Josh Rosen of producing right now.
I'm not telling anyone how to
you're
cook
the Josh
food.
Yeah,
you're
the chicken sandwiches.
Oh, aioli mayonnaise. Oh, whatever.
No, that's a simple. That's not cooking food. He's just making a. He's making a sriracha and ready whip.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ready whip.
Isn't that how he makes this?
Lashane,
that's not
this
how he
is
makes
all Dell. But guess what? You know what? Dell will know we're going to go to your place because he doesn't even know what OGD is.
I don't care. So I can say what I like.
Well, guess what? You ain't going to get.
That's fine. I don't want a spicy chicken sandwich.
You sat here and ate the pierogies without much problem.
What pierogies?
When they brought a whole tray of pierogies in. Was Dell gone that day? Was Tyler here?
No, I don't know.
I probably didn't eat the pierogies. I know I didn't. Actually, I wasn't here for that. I probably wasn't even here.
You're a picky eater, aren't you?
Did you have
the crust cut off of your peanut butter and jelly?
No, my mom said eat it. Shut up. I would never.
Did you want it cut off though?
No, I never made those requests. I'm not.
But you kind of wanted that. No. You were basic as a kid.
No,
you were kind of basic.
I'm going to tell you right now, the whole getting your crust cut off is a white person thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't
it's
doubt
white
that.
Kid. It's a white kid thing.
I don't doubt that.
I just want to know.
I never got my crust. My mom was like, hey, that's food. Eat it.
Yeah.
Don't waste it. They're like, in fact, that's the healthiest part of the bread, I heard a lot.
That's like cutting off the skin of an apple. Just eat it. What are we doing?
No.
What are we doing?
Or taking the skin off chicken.
That's stupid.
Stupid.
Isn't that supposed to be
that's
something.
What dumb people that's do. Supposed to be take some skin health, off a chicken.
That's supposed to be some health thing that I won't.
No.
Who cares?
I'm not about it.
That's
no,
what I ain't about. I'll die.
You know what? I
like restaurants and have chicken fried chicken skin.
I'm also not about your sriracha-infused mayo for your spicy chicken sandwich, Lashane.
No one's using that. He's not using. That's not what he uses.
It's ready whipping sriracha.
He's just a regular. He uses a hot sauce.
Does he?
Yeah, you can do both. You can do the chicken and that. But I like how you're being the Josh Rosen of chicken sandwiches.
Don't
now.
Try to use that on me because I use it on you.
It fits. You know, it fits.
Look, you can't use that on me because I hit you and it hurts. Don't try to use it on
hurt.
Me. It doesn't bother. Yes, it does.
Yes,
admit
you're
it.
Telling people how to make chicken sandwiches in restaurants.
No, I'm telling one person.
And you're basing it on Chick-fil-A.
A chef.
You're basing it on Chick-fil-A.
I'm getting worse than Lance.
No, I'm telling.
The Culture Map number one restaurant last year from Eric Sandler.
I'm telling one person on the show, one person I'm doing this for one guy. You know what I don't do? Every time I enter a restaurant, I don't go, hey, how'd you make your food? You think you could do it this way?
I don't do that.
You want to know how I do it?
I'm curious. I want to learn from people.
I am trolling one person.
No, then you tell them how you do it.
I'll be there in 10 minutes.
I'm trolling one
person. You better have chicken sandwiches.
He's right around the corner.
He better have chicken sandwiches.
He's going to have a left hand.
Okay. No.
He's a hockey fighter.
Stop.
Unless he's bringing food, we don't want him here.
The whole point is...
For a while,
I don't want him to throw hands. I want him to throw chicken sandwiches.
Let me tell you something. He didn't even have his left tooth in for like a month. I'm like, where'd your tooth go? He's like, drunk and lost
the
it.
Perfect.
he lost his tooth, but then he found it. Last time I saw him, he had his tooth back. Yeah, tooth.
You know why you can't call me the Josh Rosen of anything? Because when we had the Saltgrass deal going on, they brought us out there to try some food, and the guy who prepares recipes for the entire region was there at the table. And Lance is like, you know how I do things?
That's not how I said. I said, how did you cook this? I was interested. I was trying to get more knowledge. This is trash. You do this. You do this. I didn't do that.
And then you talked about how you did things.
Yeah, you do it.
No, I said, what about this?
How about this?
I didn't say, what you're doing is bad. I said, hey, what about this? Is this good too?
Let me ask you if you agree with Stephen Ruiz on these points. And we're not going to go deep in. The Seahawks trade for Jamal Adams already looks like a disaster.
No, I don't think you can say that yet.
Two firsts, and dude is – listen, well, I thought defense that was, and their pass defense listen, is terrible.
I thought that was way too much.
Yeah.
I thought that was way too much. One guy – this is my problem. I said it with Tunsil, and I'll say it with Jamal. One player, one safety doesn't make a secondary good.
Nope.
One left tackle doesn't make pass protection good. You know what you save that for? Pass rushers that you can move around and quarterbacks. You don't give away those kind of draft picks to anybody who doesn't attack the quarterback or play quarterback.
Listen to this. Trading first-round picks for a defensive player is bad enough. Trading first-round picks for one who needs a new deal is even worse. And worse still is trading first-round picks for a player who needs a deal and doesn't really make a big impact on the passing game winning coverage. That's all of those things. And it's except for the defensive thing, it's the same with Tunsil. It's the same.
That's why I was against the amount given up on that trade, because one tackle doesn't change everything. No. It just doesn't. People act like, oh, they're all in. Deshaun's safe now. Like, what about all the other players? This is one tackle. That's not pass protection. It was a big need. But then the same thing with – now, part of what Jamal Adams does is he's also blitzing, getting sacked.
Yeah,
he also is good around the line of scrimmage, and he also brings a certain leadership to a locker room. Those are important things. But you got to get your corners healthy, and you got to play better. That's Troy Polamalu. Troy Polamalu – is he Troy Polamalu? I mean, Troy was a special, special athlete, but Troy also played on a good defense. Like, he was...
Yeah, no, they had other players.
I call them multipliers. When you throw a guy... If you threw Jamal Adams on the Bears, forget about it. Like, that's a multiplier. He makes you that much better. You throw him in a secondary that's one of the worst in the league, and there's not...
He's a box safety. And you got...
He's a box safety. What's he going to do?
Justin Herbert is the best quarterback to enter the league since Lamar Jackson.
I mean, since Lamar Jackson.
Well, that's only who a was after? Years ago.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Who was
Daniel
after?
Daniel Jones and.
Daniel Jones, Haskins, and Kyler. I'm not ready to say that yet. I want to see more from Kyler. I'm not ready to say that yet, that Justin Herbert is. I want to see Burrow. I want to see Kyler. I want to see Tua. So that's a strong comment to make already.
Although he does, he's like you. He really loves what Herbert's doing.
Oh, I mean, Herbert is doing things that I didn't think he would do, which is his comfort level is surprising this early.
And we all can sit down, and if you're a Herbert guy or a Tua guy, you can all touch yourself because they're playing each other this week. You all can get excited about it.
Well, we know there will be a fumble recovery for a touchdown or a pick six.
Yeah, Emmanuel Ogba apparently is what he does, forces fumbles.
And Shaq Lawson takes him in.
844 ESPN 97.5. Grab some insurance on that.
TGS Insurance, the company who for years has been, it's been about 3 years. But homeowners insurance has been what they've done. And the difference between them and the other guys is that the other companies will they don't shop for, so they have underwriters, but they don't shop for the best rate for you. They shop for the best rate for them. So they get the lowest rate for them, and then they basically pass on what would be a different rate for you so that you're paying more for that homeowner's insurance. When you text the word money to 232323, that's money to 232323, you are going to get that rate. You're going to get the best rate from an A-rated insurance company, and they are going to pass it along to you. So you got a chance to save, on average, $900. This is your chance to save $900 on average per month. There's a lot of people who save into the thousands and even the $2,000 range. Make sure that you give yourself a chance to put more of your money back in your pocket while still maintaining A-rated insurance coverage at tgsinsurance.com. Text the word money to 232323.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm ashamed. Where's my sandwich scumbag? I defended you against the likes of Dell, the evil Dell. And you are, Dell.
How am I evil? That feels strong.
Evil Dell.
Somebody on Twitter wants to know, who are the MVPs for the Texans? Who's your MVP for
That's
the Texans?
Art.
Oh, who's your MVP for the Texans?
Deshaun.
Okay.
Offensive.
Who's your
player?
Offense player of the year? You can't make it Deshaun. Laramie Tunsil. Yeah, I thought I was going to sneak one in on you. Same thing.
Tunsil.
Defensive player of the year. Good luck. JJ?
Yeah, it'd have to be JJ.
Zach Cunningham?
No, he'd have one game.
Bradley Roller?
No, he embarrassed the team.
He embarrassed
the fans,
the entire organization, apparently.
So JJ is defensive player of the year. Who's your offensive rookie of the year? Is it Charlie Heck or is it Isaiah Coulter?
My what?
Who's your offensive rookie of the year this year for the Texans? Is it Isaiah Coulter or Charlie Heck? It's a tough call.
It would have to be. That's a tough call.
What rookie? Neither's
been active, right?
Neither's been active.
Yeah. What rookie?
Has either
offense
been in a COVID list?
I don't think so.
How do we?
Why
determine
do you take
this?
Points off or four?
I would take off.
Oh,
you were on a COVID list. I'm trying to find differentiators here.
I think they're in a dead heat.
Yeah, it's too close to call.
The first one who gets the play takes a giant step forward in this race.
No one's going to call it. It's too close to call right now.
And if it does get called.
You can see right here, there's a lot of counties for Charlie Heck still to report. And then up here, there's Isaiah Coulter counties.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mostly red counties.
What about the absentee ballots?
And there's absentee ballots. So right now, it's a very close race. There's a lot to be decided. There's still several games. Neither guy's played so far. As you see, the numbers look very similar in games played. There's a lot going on right now. You can't get too excited about it one way or another. A lot of absentee ballots coming in, and we're going to wait to see. It's way too early to call this race. Now, your defensive rookie of the year. This is a tough one. You had John Reed, who played earlier this season. Jonathan Greenard, who got stiff-armed to the ground by a rookie quarterback out of Oregon State. You have Russ Blacklock, who got kicked out of the game and then suspended.
Greenard, who
stiff-armed by Jake Luton.
Yeah.
Russ Blacklock, who...
John Reed.
John Reed, who played a couple games early in the year. Anybody else making a big difference right now defensively?
Ooh, rookie of the year.
I guess Russ Blacklock is the rookie of the year. Good draft. Good draft, dude. I'm excited about what they did this year.
Well,
looking good.
The contribution, you don't just look at this year, Lance. Charlie Heck, is going to be a stalwart.
Well, actually, I have to look this year when we're doing Offensive Rookie of the Year. By the very definition, I have to look at what they're doing this year.
Well, I know, but...
And the ballots are in on the counties. I'm going John King on you, and it says right here, so there's not a lot of action here in Coulter County.
What does Pornhub say?
Coulter County. You know that was a fake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Coulter County, not a lot of action here. There's been no votes for Coulter County. But look here. If you pull up here, and we're going to go deeper here.
What the heck?
Charlie Heck County.
What the heck?
There's no ballots also cast for Charles Heck.
You also have to compare their performance from 2020 to 2016. So how did the rookies do in 2016?
Yeah, so as you see, the rookie class is 16. And right there, I know he was drafted in 15, but David Johnson made a huge difference in 2016. Brandon Cooks, you see right here, 2016, big year for Brandon Cooks. You go to 2020 on David Johnson, you see.
Randall Cobb.
A huge decline right here, a huge decline in all stats and all numbers. In 16, big numbers. Randall Cobb, big numbers in 16. And once we go back to 20, you see right here this year, he's been terrible. The numbers are declining for all these guys. But you saw great performances in 16. And what we're seeing now 4 years later is
called underperformance.
A lot of underperformance in all the key counties that they carried in 16.
Mm-hmm. Like yards the after counties. The catch, receptions, touchdowns.
Maricopa County was really on board with David Johnson.
Very.
And now
very
Maricopa
much.
County was happy to get out from under his contract.
Mm-hmm.
As you see here, Bill O'Brien completely whitewashed in the primaries. He was wiped out. So, you know, he was not able to hold on to his onto his seat. They lost that. They flipped that. Jack Easterby flipped that seat. Well, Brian Gain got his seat flipped a couple years ago by Jack Easterby.
Now
Jack Easterby does it again. He's able to win this time in the Senate.
How did Bill O'Brien lose when he was running unopposed?
He was running unopposed and lost.
He lost.
There was
a coup. Did he lose to a dog or a dead person?
There was a coup.
Wow. Yeah, a dead person
Well,
won,
I tell you how he lost.
Won.
There was a recall. That's how you lose.
There was a recall.
There was a recall.
There was a recall.
The city of Houston, and more importantly, the Houston football play, the team, the players, from what you told us, they cast a lot of text ballots. How many text ballots did they cast?
What, and like then there were email in votes.
There was email votes, and Cal left the ballot, and Cal and Jack Easterby left the, they left it open. They said, you guys can cast ballots as long as you want, and then, boy, there was a huge turnout. Stacey Abrams got the vote out big time.
And Bill O'Brien was fighting. He was like,
J.J. Watt got the vote out. J.J. Nope. was working his ass off getting the vote. Actually, it's Jack Easterby working to get the vote out.
And Bill O'Brien contended, no votes after Election Day.
Well,
stop the count!
Stop the count!
Stop the count!
Stop the count after week one!
Well, no, where it was won is the J.J. debate. Okay?
Yeah.
The J.J. debate put it over the top.
And then J.J. hustled to get other votes counted.
Yeah.
And Jack Easterby said, we are going to keep this vote open. We're going to keep this polling place open to Cal McNair.
Well, and Bill O'Brien and Jason.
And then Cal McNair called he called it.
And Bill O'Brien and Jason Lockham IV are saying there's some allegations of voter fraud. We have to look into it.
There's no voter fraud there. I mean, I'm pretty sure.
No, Lockham IV hates him.
Oh.
Lockham IV said stop. Lockham IV said count the vote.
Count the votes.
Yeah. Albert Breer said stop the count.
Yes, Albert Breer is a stop the count guy. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Albert Breer hates that count.
Albert thinks there was voter fraud that was initiated by Jack Easterby.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's fraud, maybe, but I think there was.
Are we sure?
I think he maybe whipped up the vote. I think he excited voters.
He was a majority whip?
I think he was majority whipping the, yeah, to make sure he got that pass.
Are we sure those texts weren't you know, caused by, you know, whipped up by Jack Easterby? We're not sure those are real.
Do you think there was any voter intimidation going on?
At points, yes.
Oh, I think there was voter intimidation.
That was Bill.
Well, I just think there was intimidation
on both
going
sides.
On. Yeah.
No, that's voter suppression. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, I think there was voter suppression going on with his coaches. Tim Kelly's trying to call offenses last year, and Bill just came in on a Friday. We're not doing this. Oh, voter suppression.
Right.
One man, one vote. Right.
No. No, this is a dictatorship.
Yeah.
Okay? We ain't doing that voting stuff anymore. We ain't all about voting. 713-780-3776, top of the hour here.
By the way, Nick Chubb expected to play against the Texans, so everything I said about Kareem Hunt, well, you can't just flip
no.
it to Chubb
okay, I'm gonna
because
go,
both of them
I'm gonna
are going to run.
I'm going to go both of them 70.
I'll say under on Hunt, over on Chubb.
Well, I don't know. Why?
It depends on how the carry
70.
Okay, let me do it differently. 168 and a half yards rushing for the Browns. Team rushing, over or under.
Ooh, that's a big, big number.
Yeah, it is. But I'm not letting you play under. I'm not going to let you play the over.
Is Baker playing?
Yes. I don't think they changed up that much of Case plays, to be honest with you. I think they're going to run the piss out of the ball. They have Nick Chubb back with... Why would you throw the ball more than 18 times this week?
Yeah.
Except the Texans are bad in the secondary, but they're the worst team. They're the worst team in stopping the run.
Jarvis Landry.
Catches? He'll probably be 4.5 catches.
Oh, I'm going to go over that. But I'm going to go 85 yards.
Under.
Under?
Yeah, I just think they're going to run, especially if it's Case...
They're going to play action, and Jarvis is going to have at least one 50-yard play.
Yeah, but he's a shorter. He gets the shorter
and
passes.
He's still going to have a 50-yard play. 856 ESPN, 97.5.
They're the
so
worst.
I don't think we're – this is not a positive Texans prediction we're making.
Yeah. Why do I keep thinking they got a chance to beat the Browns?
I don't know why you do think you? That.
It's not like the Browns are juggernauts, but the Browns do run the ball well.
What is this, three?
The Browns run it well, and the Texans don't stop the run.
Let me go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. I'll find that out for you because it's what I find out all the time. Here's the deal. If you're looking for a great way to bet, win, get paid, yeah, the Texans are +3. -3 is where I'm going. And I'm on right now, and I'm about to do it. I'm about to go. I'm about to fire. And you, my friends, can fire as well. Fire away. All you got to do is deposit some money at mybookie.ag, promo code radio. If it's your first deposit, then you, my friends, will get double what you initially deposit. So do more than or whatever, I think, because this is the last time. This is the only time you're going to get double what you deposited. And when you redeposit, you don't get double again. Your initial deposit. So when you go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, deposit that money, and you, my friends, are going to bet, win, and get paid because they do pay. Now all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. They got unbelievable everything you could possibly want to bet on. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.